Before you recommend that a Christian live by the law of Moses, you better read Hebrews chapter 12. Welcome to the Radio Bible Course as we continue our study of the book of Hebrews, and we are in chapter 12. Listen to the warning beginning with verse 18, which is related to Mount Sinai and the giving of the law. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers entreat that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Well, we read in Exodus and Deuteronomy in our program yesterday about the experience which the children of Israel had at Mount Sinai. There was lightning and thunder, a loud trumpet blast. The earth shook. The mountain shook. The people trembled with fear. There was smoke and fire, and God descended on the mountain. That was the setting for the giving of the law, and it was intended to give the clear message that God means business. Law is serious. Why, God told Moses that even if a person touched a mountain, he should not be touched by any human, he should be stoned to death, and the same for any animal. Now, the animals didn't get the message, of course. Nevertheless, if one of them even went to the edge of that mountain, it was to be stoned to death. God means business. Now, someone might ask, why did God give all those dramatic signs to the people of Israel? Well, I see a pattern in the Bible. Whenever a new age is introduced, or you might call it a new administration of God, it is accompanied by dramatic and terrifying signs. It was that way at Mount Sinai, and it was that way at the cross on Calvary when Jesus Christ died. You remember the story? There was darkness over the land for the space of 3 hours. Here's how Matthew described it in chapter 27. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Friends, this was the end of Judaism, and God gave a visible sign. The signs appear at the beginning and the end of a new administration. The death of the Son of God ended the old covenant. Christ, Paul wrote to the Romans, is the end of the law for righteousness. And a new administration was begun. It began at Pentecost. And appropriately, God gave a sign. There was a howling wind. It sounded like a tornado. And then there was something visible. The Spirit came. And there appeared tongues of fire resting on all the disciples. Well, this church age is going to end with drama also. There'll be a trumpet blast, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Obviously, God did not want his creatures to be in the dark about what he was doing. He gave clear signs. The signs came in dramatic form when the law was given, and there were dramatic signs at the end of that law age when Jesus Christ died on the cross. The signs that God gave always involved the heavens, so it will be at the end of this church age, as it was at the beginning of the church age. The Spirit was sent from heaven, and at the end of the age, a trumpet blast will come from heaven, and there will be the voice of the archangel. Now there's still another distinct age in the Bible. It's the coming of the kingdom. And Jesus said there would be signs. Listen to them. This is taken from Matthew 24. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. That, my friends, is the beginning of Christ's kingdom. It's the kingdom of which the prophets had spoken, and it's the kingdom of which Jesus himself spoke. We are not yet in that kingdom. We haven't had the signs. We are living in the age of the church, where God in his patience is saving both Jew and Gentile. When Jesus Christ comes in his kingdom, things will be different. He will rule over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. There will be peace and righteousness on the earth. He will sit on David's throne. God made a covenant with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that would be the case. That has not happened. Jesus has ruled over nobody yet, but he will. The promises of God must be true. God cannot lie, and every word which has been spoken will be fulfilled. Now the writer to the Hebrews, beginning with verse 18 of chapter 12, is reminding these Hebrews who say they have believed in Christ that they are not following something like the Jew followed. They did not start out their Christian life by going to Mount Sinai and be terrified with the Word of God. Instead, they have come to a heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the city of the living God, but it's not on earth. It's in heaven. Now, if they haven't come to the mountain that could not be touched, that must mean that they have nothing to do at all with Judaism. And it also implies that Judaism must have ended, else they would have somehow been associated with it. But what has been the problem here in this epistle? It's that some of these Hebrews have been misled by some Jewish teachers to go back to the law, perhaps to even offer sacrifices again, to honor their priests and the temple, and all the other aspects of Judaism, which the writer has been insisting for chapter after chapter, are unnecessary because they have a better priest. Christ is their eternal priest. And they had someone better than Moses that comes out in the early chapters of this epistle, where he also said that Christ was better than the angels because he never said to any angel, "You are my son, this day have I begotten you." And in Hebrews 1 verse 7 he wrote, of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of thy kingdom." Now what's he mean here? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He's talking about the Son. He is saying that Jesus Christ is God. And of course, John the Apostle told us that in the beginning was the Word, The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was in the beginning. He is the eternal God the Son. And these Hebrew Christians are people who have believed in Him. But, like many people throughout all the ages, they have been drawn back to the Old Testament to rely on things which never were intended for those who believe in Jesus Christ. At Mount Sinai, Israel feared. How awesome the presence of the living God was. Men could not draw near to God under Judaism. Even the high priest was limited to one approach to the Holy of Holies once a year. On that Day of Atonement, he could not tarry there. He had to expedite his activities and get out. The holy, glorious Creator of heaven and earth is not a man. Now, we need to understand His holiness. He, as the Creator, establishes the rules for coming to Him. John the Apostle did understand God's holiness, for in Revelation chapter 16, he describes the seven bowls of wrath on the earth. They are terrifying, especially the bowl of the seventh angel, beginning with verse 17. Listen to it. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. There was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of wine of His fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. This tells us that the holy and just God will see that justice is done, that men will reap what they deserve for their deeds. Now, these are men, of course, who have rejected the grace and the love of God. They've rejected the gospel and the Son of God, who is the good news. He came to be the way to God, the life of God, and the truth of God. There are still scoffers today who say what they said in the first century, "Where is the promise of His coming?" He will come, and they'll know it, and it will be too late. God believes in justice. What the law demands, it will get. We have discussed some of the ages which God has planned, and we have seen the dramatic beginning and end of each of these ages. You can learn more about these by listening to our cassette tapes on Understanding the New Testament. Write today for our free brochure called Teaching Tapes. We have more than 25 courses on cassette tape for you to learn the Bible at home. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda, reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.